while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. Around about 2,000 years ago, history records the event that took place in Jerusalem. The 49th day after the resurrection of Jesus. It was 49 days later. So those of you who like to work out these things, it's exactly 7 weeks since Easter. And I actually saw something online this morning that helps to, because I was thinking Pentecost, how do we understand Pentecost in terms of the Christian view? What exactly is Pentecost? We understand what Christmas is, right? Spend, spend, spend. We understand what Easter is, right? 4-day holiday. Is that right? So what exactly is Pentecost, you know? And I saw this that said, you know, at Christmas, the Father showed us that God was with us. At Easter, the Son showed us that God was for us. And at Pentecost, the Spirit showed us that God is in us. Amen. I really like that. I thought I'd share that this morning. I can see phones coming out, so I won't change the slide. You know, I thought that was really, really powerful. Christmas, the Father showed God was with us. Easter, that showed the Son showed that God was for us. And then notice the tense changes. Pentecost shows that the Holy Spirit is in us, not was, is. Still relevant, still today, as always. So here we are, and the theme for today's service, God's Plan B. And I really want to use my time here to just share some simple thoughts about Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the light of God's plans. In the light of God's plans. I want to kick off by telling you a little bit about this sermon theme. It's all kicking off at the front here, and you know that, right? I want to tell you a little bit about this sermon theme, God's Plan B. Many of you will know that I like to plan ahead, particularly where it concerns the things of God and church. I plan ahead. I bring my A game to the table. I don't believe in human perfection. I don't think there's any such thing. I think that's a fallacy. But we still should bring, you know, operate with a modicum, a degree of excellence. So I like to do that as we trust the Lord to lead us. So I prepare. I typically prepare sermon titles a few weeks in advance, 4 to 6 weeks, no more than 6 weeks in advance. I don't decide who preaches, as many of you already know. Babs does that. She determines who preaches, so I'm not involved in that. But I like to prepare 5 or 6 weeks in advance, and also having it in advance helps whoever's leading the worship team, the devotional leader, cell group, because the cell groups focus on the same theme, gives them time to prepare. For their ministration, gives them time to do that. Also having it in the church app and having it on the website means that, you know, it's the information's out there. It's not just the preserve of the members of the church. So I like to plan ahead and I prepare sermons ahead of time. Just, you know, makes things easier. From time to time, we've had situations where the Holy Spirit jumps in and reminds us that it's not our church, it is His church. And we need to move agenda for His and not the other way around. Yeah? And God's Plan B was one of those sermons. This sermon was initially scheduled for Sunday, the 9th of March. Many of you know that Wednesday, Tuesday, the 4th of March, is when my son, Nii, died. Sadly, the following Sunday, we came and we were here and we worshiped together. We cried. We were broken together in God's presence, and He came and He dwelt amongst us. I've never seen us giving out so many tissues, but it was really wonderful. And we were family and we stood as family. So obviously we couldn't do it that day because it was a day where we just worshiped. We just brought what we had to the altar of God, and we gathered as a church in the tears and in the pain, and we still gave thanks, right? So we moved it. PM and I joked a little bit afterwards. We said, oh, well, the sermon's God's plan B. So God must have had a plan B, you know. And so we moved it that day. And we moved it to the 27th of April. God's plan B had moved to plan B, which was the 27th of April, the week after Easter. We had the design changed, the date was put on, and we posted it to the website, posted it to YouTube, put it on the apps, and we knew, we accepted God had a different plan. He had a plan B, so we moved plan B to plan B, 27th of April. How many of you, well, I'm sure some of you will remember, 27th of April was the Sunday after Nui's funeral, and the decision was made for us to just gather and just give thanks. And so it was a Thanksgiving service, because as a church, we'd been mourning together. We'd been crying together. And so it was a Sunday after Easter. It was Easter Sunday. It was a service of worship and Thanksgiving. That's the service where we had those wonderful sermonettes from Serena and Anita, who preached those wonderful messages. So again, the theme had to move, because we sensed that plan B was the plan B. And so the theme was scheduled for today, the 8th of June, 3 months after it was first planned. God's plan B. So let's look again at the synopsis. I'm going to read the synopsis for today's service. It's on the church website. It's in the apps. And it says this. It says, God is sovereign, and his plans for our lives are not messed up by our situation, our circumstances, or our poor choices. God is not surprised when we pick a certain option, or we take one job over another job, or when we use unbelief to solve a problem and create a bigger problem. In our lives, God still wants to do his will, his way, according to his plan. Amen. And so in our text that was read to us a little while ago from Exodus, a very important thing happened to the children of Israel, or happened with the children of Israel. You know, the backstory, these guys were, you know, they were doing well, God's children. You know, God's people always do right. Is that right? Thank you. Thankfully, nobody said yes, because I was like, wow, tell me your secret. I want to know, mate, you know. And so they messed up a little bit. In fact, they messed up a lot. They were captured. They were carried off into captivity, into slavery. And then, you know, they started fixing up. They started doing right. God had mercy on them. He called his boy Moses. You know, Moses that was like, oh, I don't know if I'm up to the job. No, he probably said, I don't know if I'm up to the job. You know, he had a stammer. I don't know if I'm up to the job. And God was like, don't, you know, get over yourself. You know, it's been a while since I've said church, get over yourself, hasn't it? I need to preach a sermon called Get Over Yourself. Get over yourself. It's not about you. That's what God said to Moses. Probably different words, but you know. And then Moses said, okay, I'll do it. And he led the people out, you know. Pharaoh didn't want them to go. He went to Pharaoh. He was like, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, nah, man, I'm not going to do that. And Moses was like, you're going to pay for it. You know, I mean, different accent, but you know the story, right? And eventually, Pharaoh had no choice. He was shown that he couldn't come up against God. He released the children of Israel, let them go. And so that then takes us, as they journeyed through, as they began their journey, the first verse of our text today. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 says these words, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. You know, and it's easy when we read scripture, we just read it. It's a statement of fact. It's, you know, God's saying something. God said it. You know, it's what happened. It's history. You know, it's happened. Yeah. And it's easy to read that. But let's look at that text one more time. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, and I'm going to have to show you the bits that I've highlighted, God did not lead them on the road that was shorter. You see the highlight? God did not lead them on the road that was shorter. I was just like, yeah, what? That's true. Because the shorter road was clearly the first option. But God didn't take them there. Let me illustrate. How many people know how to get to Kingston University? Do you know where Kingston University is? It's not too far away, is it? No, I can hear some no's. Some people are like, Kingston University, is that in Jamaica? Yeah. No. The other Kingston that's not so warm. Kingston in Surrey. right? So Kingston University, does anybody know how long it takes to get there by car, roughly? About 40 minutes, someone said, about half an hour. Any takers? Sounds like an auction. Yeah. No? Okay, let me show you something. I did this. Here's a route on Google Maps. The first image, for those of you on radio, you just have to imagine what is being seen. In this image, you can see on the right, when you look at the map, PHBC, where we are now, is on the right-hand side. Kingston's the bit at the left, up a little bit with the red dot, right? So that's where Kingston University is. According to Google Maps, it takes a little bit more than 30 minutes. Actually, it takes 36 minutes, according to the search that I did. So if I was going to Kingston University from here, this is likely the route I will take. This is my plan A. Do you agree with me? Yeah, this is, I mean, come on. It's the shorter one. It's the easier one. Let me show you the equivalent of what God did to his people. They said, Lord, we need to get to Kingston University. And God did this. And God did this. Those of you, sorry, who are on radio who cannot see this, I mean, this route goes through Chessington, Cobham, Addlestone. You're going on the M25. You're zigging and zagging through the counties. This route takes what does it say? 3 hours and 3 minutes. I love the 3 minutes on the end so that, you know. Half an hour is now 3 hours. Isn't that the case with the Israelites? It was a journey ordinarily of, does anybody know? 40 days. Approximately 40 days. It took them 40 years to do the same journey. Now, God desires us to be successful. And he wanted success and freedom for his people. In the same way, he wants that desire, that success and freedom for us. But let me ask, do you sometimes feel like God is taking you the long way around? Do you remember our reflection that Charlene led us in? Sometimes it just feels like, Lord, come on, man. But you know I'm ready. Has anybody ever felt, or is it just me? Have you ever felt that way? Lord, you know, do you have to teach me the long lesson? I've told God many times, you're God. You know, I was talking to my cousin the day before yesterday. I said, sometimes I don't want the long lesson. And he says, no, but God wants to teach you step by step. I said, he's God. He can put all the steps in my head. Why doesn't he just put all the steps? Bam! 3, 2, 1, bam! I have all the steps. I don't even need the end, the last one alone. He can, and I tell him, why don't you just do that? And I'll be like, wise, instantly. Yeah. That's not his. Pardon? I must understand wisdom, absolutely. And this is what God sometimes does. And maybe you're in that place now where you feel like God's plan isn't working out. Maybe you feel like you're in God's plan B. And if that's you, this message is for you. You see, God took the children of Israel the way that was best for them, not the way that was easiest for them, or the way that was shortest or quickest or most comfortable for them. It was the safest, but he took them the long way around. And that's what made it the best way. It was the long way around, but what makes it the best way is because it was God's way. The obvious shortcut, the way of the Philistines, the proven path, the path of least resistance was the worst way. The easiest path would have been the deadliest path. Imagine if they had not heeded God, if they had not followed God, if they decided to do it their way. You know, people say, I do it my way. You better not. You better do it God's way. However hard it is, you better do it God's way. And let me ask, are shortcuts part of your Christian life? Are you walking? Are you looking? You know, soft life. Somebody who's really dear to me, really, really close to me, said to me one time, next year I just want soft life. You'll never guess who. No names. You'll never guess who. I'm not caught. I didn't call any names, did I? Just because she put this ring on my finger, I didn't call her name. Said, oh, and this was in 2024. Said, oh, you know what? 2024 has been hard. 2025, I just want a soft life. 2025 has been a hard, hey! Funeral, hospital, all the ills that you can think of. Oh my goodness. Are you traveling roads that are different to the way God said you should go? Because as hard as it has been for us, we know that, we know that God has been with us. I have zero doubt of his presence through that valley of the shadow of death, through the pain and the suffering and the darkness. I have zero doubt of his presence. Are you in God's plan? And if so, are you in his plan A or are you in his plan B? Actually, what exactly is God's plan B? When we think about scripture, do we see God's plan B? You know, in the beginning, God created the world. He created Adam. He created Eve in his own image. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. Adam, you know, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. And he told them and he explained to them they can have anything they want except one thing. Anything, everything, any and everything in this garden is yours except one thing. Book of Genesis. There was one tree. You can eat anything you want. Do not eat from this tree. He didn't tell them why. Well, no, let me. So he did. He didn't have to tell them why. He said, do not eat from this tree. And he gave them a because. How many people here are parents? Hands up. No shame. Quick. Some of you are like, oh, I don't know if you don't know my child. You don't know my child, you know. How many times, has your child ever said to you why? And you answer, because I say so. Yes. Yeah, man. It's come on, parental book instruction, page one, it's there. When a child answers why, you say, because I say so. You just got here questioning me. And you know, I don't have to give you a because, but guess what? God gave Adam and Eve a because. He said, do not eat from this tree, because if you eat from it, you will die. He gave them a because. He gave them the consequence. He gave them a straightforward, simple, singular, direct command. And he gave them a simple explanation. Yet, with the command, with the reason and the explanation, they did not comply. They did it their way. And when we read from Genesis, we see that these guys are not alone in this picture. Satan comes in and he starts whispering and he starts convincing. And it shows there's a spiritual dimension to everything. Adam and Eve, they succumbed to temptation. They had one job. They had one job. Don't eat the fruit. But what do? They sinned. And they got the fruit from that. Death. And death entered the world. Now, I'm saying that because just because something is simple doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. And I want to bring it up to introduce another point. So we talked about the creation story right at the beginning. Let me talk about the new beginning of the Old Testament. Talk about the New Testament. Jesus. Was Jesus plan B? Was Jesus, you know, as I thought about today and what today means and represents, I was thinking about Christ. I'm like, okay, you know, because Adam, you know, we talk about creation and the fall. You know, Adam failed. That was a failure. That was our survey says. So we're like, okay, you know what? I'll get the other guy in. So was Jesus plan B? Did God fail when he created the Garden of Eden? Did God make a mistake with Adam and have Jesus as the tipex? How many people remember Tippex? Do you remember Tippex? I can't believe you put your hand up. You're showing your age. Some people are looking at me going, Tippex, what is that a website? Is that an app? Where do I download? Can I download Tippex? Is that form of Bitcoin, you know, crypto? Remember Tippex? First of all, it was liquid form. And then there was this thing you could just rub on it. And it was like, wow, Tippex! And then after a while, it was just disgusting. It was just horrid. You just see letters with Tippex on it. It just looked like toothpaste. So was Jesus God's Tippex? I'm going to just brush over the stuff that happened with Adam and just put Jesus over there and just rewrite it. I don't understand. People writing with Tippex. I look back now and I'm thinking, you can see! Was Jesus God's backspace button because he'd made a mistake? We don't see plan B in any of scripture. When God called Abraham, what was God's plan B for Abraham? He didn't say, well, if you don't do it, I've got somebody waiting in the wings. He had no plan B. He had no plan B. When Jairus' daughter was sick and this girl, this child was going to die. and Jesus went in there and performed this miracle and brought her back to life, what was the plan B? What was the plan B when Jesus' friend Lazarus in John chapter 11 died? And they called him and he went there and this dude was in the tomb. What was the plan B when he said, Lazarus, come forth? Well, they had no plan B. When Joseph was in Egypt and he was sent there to be a blessing to God's people in that time of famine, for those who know the story, what was the plan B? There was no plan B. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This statement says there is no plan B. There's no plan B. There are no shortcuts to heaven. God is the only one who knows the best way to take. And he provided Jesus as the key, as the door, as the way to the Father. God is the one who wants us to enjoy life, to have success in our lives, to have peace in our lives, health, prosperity. God is the one who plans our journeys and the journey that will bring us home to him, even if it is the long way home. Even if it is. Have you ever been sitting in traffic and you thought, you know what? I know this other way is longer, but I'm going to do it. Have you ever done that? Who here likes sitting in traffic? Because there's some oil in my office, I'll bring it, just pray for you now, just get that sorted. And it brings us to another truth. The last verse of our text today points something out. Exodus 13, 21. By day, what happened? The Lord went ahead of them. You see, yes, it was the long way around, but God was leading all the time. He didn't just send them off. He didn't just say, go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you go. Remember the days of A to Z? I'm really taking you lot back now. None of this sat-nav business that goes with you. The days of eight, I passed my driving test in 1990. And back then, you want to drive from here to, last week we went to, it was really great. We had a wonderful time. No, was it last week or the week before? We went away to Derbyshire over the half-term break. Really nice. We rented, it was an Airbnb. We rented this, it was a stately home, this mansion. And one part of the stately home, the owners, they lived there still, but they portioned it off and you can rent it out. The ceilings were really high windows. There's a field with sheep and you're sitting there watching the peasants roaming the pheasants. I keep saying that. Come on, you should have stopped me. Come on. Not pheasants, peasant. Not. You see, this is what happens when you sleep in a stately home. So the birds, right? Well, and the sheep, you'd wake 6 o'clock in the morning, quarter past six in the morning, and waking up to the sound of sheep and birds, not woo, 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 and all that Pollard's Hill kind of, I love me my Pollard's Hill, but mate, Derbyshire was something else, it really was. And I've completely forgotten my train of thought now. Oh yes, God leading the way. And us getting to Derbyshire, we just punched in the postcode and in the sat-nav, Back in them days, right? Back in them days, you'd sit there, you had four different, you had one for London, one for Buckinghamshire, one for Derbyshire, and you had the little ones for the little towns. You had a boot full of different maps, and you'd be in, and you'd literally, I'd write my instructions on a piece of paper. I would do that because you can't, And it wasn't, this isn't how it was with the children of Israel. He didn't send them out with a bunch of maps and say, find your way there. Scripture says he went ahead of them. He was with them leading the way. Let me say this. God has no plan B. Because if he's leading the way, he's in it. It's not a second thought. It's not an afterthought. The plan to send God's son, God the Son, to die the most terrible death of all, that plan was the Father's plan before, the scripture tells us, before the foundations of the world. were laid. Revelation 13, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. It was always, Jesus was not plan B. He was always the plan. It was always the plan that he would come, be born of a virgin, live a perfect life, and then die in the place of sinners. It's not that, you know, God had this plan, and then Adam and Eve messed up, and God was a little bit frustrated, going, oh, come on, man. These guys, you know, oh, I need a contingency. I know, Jesus, what do you reckon? Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Jesus, do you want to go? Because don't forget, Jesus said, if it was my will, this ain't happening. Because I'm sure there would have been a, do you want to go? Come on, answer me. Of course, Jesus was like, yeah, I'm up for it. Let's go. Jesus wasn't God's backup plan. The cross, the resurrection are not an afterthought because God's first plan didn't work. The presence of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost day was not plan C. You know, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, when I go, I will send another. I will send the comforter. So, you know, Adam was plan A. Jesus was plan B. And then, you know, Jesus was recalled back to heaven. You know, like, you know, when your washing machine develops a fault and the manufacturer issues a recall. Yeah. Jesus, you know, or like your car insurance, you know, there's something wrong with your car, they give you a courtesy. Jesus wasn't some sort of courtesy car because heaven, you know, needed to bring him back home. So, you know, sorry, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was always part of the plan. He was always part of the plan. Jesus wasn't just recalled. Okay, your time's done. Come home, we'll send somebody else. And you know, this is the good news for us. Very good news. Because if Jesus was plan B, can you imagine what that would mean on God? You know, when we as human beings, when we as people, when we move from plan A to plan B, usually it's because we have new information. Something has been added to the plan or removed from the plan. Something has changed. There's something, there's a situation, there's a circumstance, there's a person, there's an issue we didn't plan for, and there's new information. It's either something in or something out. So we change the way we think about it. But remember that God isn't like us. Every situation, every circumstance, God knows it right down to the molecular level. There's never a moment that God is ever taken, caught off guard or taken by surprise. I've said it before. I think I've said it here. We must realize that God has never realized anything. It must occur to us that nothing has ever occurred to God. He's always present. There's never a situation or an instance where God is shocked or dismayed or surprised. You know, the human heart is a thing of confusion, a thing that's mixed up and twisted, and sometimes just out of place. And because of that, sometimes when we reflect on our decisions, we reflect on the things that have happened in the past, you know, it's almost like we look at what we're doing and we start to reason how we acted. And we realize sometimes that even though we did A, there was B going on in our hearts at the time. We look back. That's not how God is. God knows himself fully. He knows himself perfectly. He knows himself totally. And he always acts in accordance with his perfect nature. Sometimes we move to plan B because plan A didn't work. Or we thought we had a good idea. It seemed good at the time. And we couldn't push past plan A. So we switched to plan B. Haven't we done that? We've done it in our jobs. We have this great job, it's a great job, da da da, boom, we switch. Something happened. The boss told us off. That time we came, you know, I was only half an hour late and he was telling me off. Dude, can we just call it what it is? We're Christians. Can we just say it? 1 minute late is late. And you've heard me say it before. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. It's a simple principle. If your flight is at 10, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. You know, it's a simple principle. And then we do it with our jobs. We do it with our houses. Oh, I don't like that landlord. I'm moving. We do it at church. You know, I don't like that sermon. I'm moving. We do it with our relationships. We do it with our relationships. And that's not what God wants of us and from us. Nevertheless, God doesn't do that. He doesn't execute his plans in the ways that we do, in the fashion that we do. He does it the way he sees fit. To say that Jesus' plan B is an indictment on the character of God. That means God is not omnipresent. That means God is not the same yesterday, today, forever. That means God was never in the future. It's a lie. To say that Jesus was plan B is to say that God made a mistake, God messed up, God is somehow deficient, insufficient. So thank God that Jesus is not plan B. But at the same time, I put it to you today that Jesus is not plan A. Because for you to have a plan A is to imply that you have a plan B. It's to imply that there's room for a second plan. There's room for a contingency. There's room for a just in case. There's room for a maybe. And just in case and maybe are not in the reality of how God works. So it is wrong to think of Jesus as plan B. It is wrong to think of the Holy Spirit as plan B. It is wrong to think of them even as plan A. Plan B is put in place when plan A doesn't work. When we say, you know, I didn't see that coming. You know, I didn't think that far. Well, guess what? God can see it coming. God can think that far. And there's no plan B. In fact, with God, there's no plan A. There's just the plan. God isn't sitting around hoping and waiting to see whether or not the whole Adam thing could work so he could do the Jesus thing. And if the Jesus thing works out, then he'll do the Holy Spirit thing. No. He's not hoping, you know, that he has enough fortitude and influence and confidence to see plan A work. Adam was the plan. Jesus was the plan. The Holy Spirit was the plan. The Church of Jesus was the plan. PHBC was the plan. Let me put it to you. You are the plan. There's no plan B. The truth of it is this sermon is not God's plan B for you. Nor is it his plan A. It is simply God's plan for you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.